What is the Dark Web? The Truth About the Hidden Part of the Internet by Evan J. Rogers. Read by David Loving. Introduction. You may have heard of the Dark Web and all the bad and shady things about it. It would almost seem that the Dark Web is a crook's haven. You can find various illegal products and services there. Nothing is off-limits, from drugs to guns, and not to mention other unspeakable horrors that lurk within. Therefore, it would seem obvious that it should be destroyed and buried, since nothing good could ever come out of it. However, some might say that despite all of this, the dark web could offer a solution for one of modern society's biggest problems, privacy. Before we begin, I want to mention that this is a very difficult and complex subject. The information in this book is only meant to help you form your own opinion, so please try to maintain an open mind while dealing with this highly controversial information. That being said, let us begin. The dark web is infamous for how people can remain anonymous while browsing, thus giving them the freedom to do everything they want. Of course, when you combine that with society's current structure, it inevitably leads to highly illegal activities. Drug dealing is one of them. Anonymity, in this case, can be achieved by using the Tor browser, more on that later, and it is one of the keys to the dark web. Many people mistake the deep web from the dark web, and the two are often used interchangeably and incorrectly. So how are they different? There are three levels of the World Wide Web. The surface web, which is where most of us surf. This level has everything discoverable by any main search engine of your internet browsers. The things you can find include various household products, news, and other information from today's social media. Pictures of our meals or funny cat videos have some of us hypnotized and almost blinded about the real world. The surface web is also under constant surveillance from the government. While the dark web seems to be infinitely vast to many people, is merely a fraction of the entire internet, roughly 4-5% of the entire World Wide Web content. The deep web represents all the websites that are not found by ordinary search engines. The deep web consists of all the data behind firewalls, databases, business intranets, web archives, password-protected websites fall into the same category. The deep web is accessible, but requires something like a password-encrypted browser or a set of login details. The deep web is about 500 times larger than the surface web. The dark web, however, can only be accessed by using certain browsers such as the Tor browser, and it exists within the deep web. The content inside the dark web is purposely concealed. The URL is not as simple and understandable as www.websitename.com. It is more of a string of numbers and alphabets that ends in .onion. So how does the dark web come into being? How is it bad? Is there any potential upside to the dark web? Before we delve deep into the history of the dark web, we must first understand the importance of privacy, because anonymity is key in this story. Why is privacy so important? The dark web promises anonymity, and that is why it has millions of users worldwide. Maybe it does not seem as important to you because you have nothing to hide. However, following the incident with Edward Snowden and the NSA, as well as the more recent Facebook privacy controversy known as the Cambridge Analytics controversy, it became clear that privacy and anonymity are very important to many people. In fact, there's a photo of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg who has tape over the webcam on his laptop, which suggests that he too is concerned about his privacy, and so should you. In the middle 1800s, you didn't need much to have some privacy, just some locked doors, windows, and you were shielded from the outside world. Privacy was a gift that many people took for granted. With the advancement of technology in the form of computers and the internet, it has become almost impossible to shield yourself from the outside world, especially not with some closed doors and windows. Because the electronic device you are using right now to read this book is the window to the outside world. Even if you sit at home alone in your room, you are not really as private as you think. Your online activities are being monitored. This, however, begs the question, is it a good thing or a bad one? Even if you don't have anything to hide, there are still many other reasons why you should be concerned about your privacy. For one, it limits the government's power and that of private companies. If they know so much about every one of us, they can easily influence us in ways we could never imagine. Take private companies, for example. If they know what food you like, then you can expect to see advertisements for it whenever you browse the internet. They want you to buy their products, and the only way to do it is by offering convincing advertisements. In addition, your personal data could actually be sold to these companies. However, your personal data should not be treated as mere goods. More so, one could argue that you should be compensated if your personal data is sold. Still, you don't get a penny from it. The same could be said for governments. Politics is more of a popularity contest nowadays. Politicians need to know what makes the citizens happy so they can promise all of those things when, in reality, they know some of them could never be really delivered. Privacy is also about respecting each individual. Many people just want some privacy, and they should have it. It is outright insulting if anyone ignores that. Of course, there are important things that outweigh a person's privacy, but it should count among one of the last resorts to solve a problem. In Edward Snowden's words, he compared the situation to a person holding a gun to your head and saying, "Don't worry, I won't shoot, trust me." Although the U.S. government meant well when they wanted to have the ability to see into its citizens' devices in order to stop terrorist attacks, the message they're sending is different. This invasion of privacy simply shows a lack of respect for the individual, and it is like saying you care about your own interests, but not the civilians. Privacy also allows people to manage their own reputations. How we are seen and judged affect our friendships, opportunities, and well-being. Even if we cannot fully control how others see us, at least privacy gives us a chance to protect our own reputation against both falsehoods, but also certain truths. People are misjudged because they are misunderstood. However, knowing more about a person does not mean a more accurate judgment. In fact, many people judge very quickly and falsely. One great example of this was a TED presentation conducted by John Ronson. In it, he stated how simple it is for a tweet to ruin a person's life. He talked about Justine Sacco and how her tweet, which was originally meant to be a joke, caused an uproar that eventually ruined her life. What happened had, of course, nothing to do with privacy. But it showed how quickly people judge and jump to conclusions. They judge hastily, with hypocrisy, and often out of context. The only way to be protected in these situations is in the form of privacy. On a more intimate level, privacy is a sanctuary we could retreat to. All of us have social boundaries, both physical and informational. All of us just want to have a place to be alone and have some alone time. Having these boundaries allows us to determine how close you want other people to be. You draw the line, and everyone should respect it. Without these boundaries, there will always be awkward social situations, and every person has a certain way of dealing with them. Some can get over it pretty quickly. Others recur to alcohol, drugs, overeating, and even violence to cope with social traumas. You want people to know about you, but to get the chance to see the real you. Trust goes hand in hand with privacy. In any relationship, be it social or professional, one can never stress the importance of trust enough. If you do not respect a person's privacy, then you don't trust them. Some parents read their children's diary to make sure that they are doing all right. However, some children see it as a violation of trust. The same could be said for a government and its people. By violating a person's privacy, their freedoms of thought, speech, social and political activities become also violated. All of us behave differently when we are being watched. In other words, we are not truly ourselves when we know that someone is watching us. Even animals behave differently when there are people watching. In the most extreme scenarios, the government could attempt to control the citizens' thoughts by controlling the media output and the information flow for every individual. And let's be honest, such a case is all too familiar to most of us. It is a dystopian future that we all do not want to have. Without privacy, all of us would lose our individuality. When our speech and thoughts are monitored, we would become something akin to robots. All of us would just conform to certain standards set by the government. If they can monitor our thoughts, then they could just as easily brainwash everyone. Such a future keeps some people awake at night. Sadly, we are already well on our way there, starting with the loss of net neutrality, which puts an end to a free, open internet where all contents are treated equally. Certain companies can now control what you see on the internet, and if we do not do something soon, then things are only going to get worse. Privacy is such an important thing for many people. Unfortunately, it is currently being threatened. Something must be done because one privacy violation could lead to many more along the way. It must be protected. Our online privacy is at risk. But is there a place where we could all retreat to? A place where everyone can be truly anonymous? Does this sanctuary exist? Luckily, there is a technology that could protect our online privacy. It led to the birth of what is known as the dark web, and it has been with us for a few decades already. What is the dark web? With the internet's continuous growth in the mid-1990s, the society is transformed on a global scale. Among those changes, the biggest one is the rise of instant communication. If you have an internet connection, you could talk to pretty much everyone else across the globe, as long as they are also connected. By 2000, there were over 350 million users. Since then, another concern arose with the growth of the internet. The internet was not designed to keep the users anonymous. In fact, everything you say and do on the internet can be recorded and tracked back to you. While this seems like a sensible feature, since the police and other authorities could trace online evidence back to the perpetrator, however, some were concerned about their privacy. In the mid-1990s, the United States federal government was one of them. A group of mathematicians and computer scientists working for the United States Navy, known as the Naval Research Laboratory, NRL, started the development of a new technology that would allow for anonymous, bidirectional communication where the destination and the source could not be determined by a midpoint. Basically, the people working for the U.S. government created a system that allows anonymous communication over the internet. However, they quickly realized that, in order to achieve anonymity, the technology would have to be released to the public. It makes no sense to wear a mask to conceal your identity when everyone else cannot wear it. Everyone will know that it is you. The same concept applies to this technology. If the U.S. agents are authorized to use this technology, whereas nobody else can, then whenever an anonymous connection came through, everyone could tell that the CIA was looking at their website, which defeats the purpose of anonymity. Therefore, the NRL released their onion routing technology, which was known as Tor, under an open-source license. Tor stands for The Onion Router, and you need it in order to access the network of onion routers. Nowadays, there are millions of people around the world using the Tor browser. Here, it is worth noting that the Tor browser can also be used for your mundane daily browsing. Tor allows the users to browse anonymously, which is one of the reasons why so many people have been using it. You can check your email, message your friends, watch funny cat videos, and do other things using this browser. However, the Tor browser also has a hidden service. It allows you to access the dark web. It is because of this anonymity that makes the dark web a perfect ground for criminals to conduct their dirty business. In October 2013, the FBI took down an online drug marketplace known as the Silk Road that had been operating for about 2 years. It was then that the public began to realize that the dark web exists. The FBI arrested the administrator, but that had little impact on the drug trade in the dark web. In fact, more websites offering the same services continue to pop up, and are inevitably but slowly taken down. It is not just the drug business that exists in the dark web. There are a lot of other illegal businesses operating there as well. Another example of a service available on the dark web is the assassination services. However, assassinations are unlikely to have occurred. The problem is a lack of evidence, since anyone can set up a darknet website and claim to do anything for any reason, especially if money is involved. One such website was hacked, and it turned out that it was merely a scam to trick criminals out of their money. Or at least that was what the admins said in their leaked messages. Still, it is impossible to tell if they were telling the truth or not. A study from 2016 found that about 1,500 out of 2,700 active .onion websites on the Tor network contain illicit content, which is well over half. However, only 3-6% of all the Tor users actually use these hidden services. In other words, only 3-6% use the dark web. A majority only use them to protect their privacy and browse the surface web anonymously. They have never visited a .onion website. That would suggest that all the horrors going on inside the dark web may not be as vast as you think. However, horrors they still are. So why is it so difficult to track and take down an illicit dark web site? Taking down the elusive illicit websites. Shutting down illegal dark web sites is a lot harder than it may seem. Government agents would take them all down if it were as easy as taking down a website on the surface web. Even Pirate Bay, a notorious file-sharing website, has proven itself to be a challenge, and it was a website right on the surface web. Taking down a dark website is a challenge on a different level. Running an illegal market in the dark web has a lot of risks involved, so everyone did everything in their power to remain anonymous. Therefore, people who are running the markets are well hidden behind some of the best privacy protection software. With multiple layers of protection in place, taking them all down to find the true culprit would take a lot of time and money. The notorious drug marketplace Silk Road had been operating for 2 years before it was taken down. Just a few months later, Silk Road 2.0 was launched and taken down the next year. Silk Road 3.0 was launched a few hours after that. Basically, it is faster and cheaper for a criminal to launch an illegal website than it is for authorities to take one down. To make matters worse, we're talking about only one illegal business in the dark web. There are a lot more down there offering different illicit services. Taking all of them down would be nearly impossible. If only anonymity were not there, then the authorities would be able to find the culprit easier. Alas, many people want to have just that. There is no way to limit the onion routing technology to only the innocent civilians and government agents. It's worth noting, again, that this onion routing technology was intended for the government agents' uses only. However, it was proven that limiting its use will only render this technology useless. When they released it to the public, criminals took the opportunity to expand their business online. So why not take everything down? If you cannot track and shut down all of the illegal dark web websites, wouldn't it be wise to bite the bullet and shut the dark web completely? Even if some of the licit websites will be affected, at least it will put an end to the criminal activities online, right? According to a survey conducted by a Canadian think tank of over 24,000 people, approximately 71% of them believed that the dark web should be shut down entirely. Many people probably imagine that the dark web is a singular place where all the criminals conduct their dirty business and that all it takes is an FBI raid. Sadly, it does not work that way. Shutting down the dark web is impossible. Doing so would mean shutting down every single site and relay. For example, if we are to shut Tor down, then we would need to shut down more than 7,000 secret nodes worldwide at the same time. We mentioned before how challenging it was to shut down Pirate Bay. Imagine how hard it is to shut down a network of sites that have encrypted communication and hidden IP addresses that are hosted worldwide. To make matters worse, there are many networks out there that offer the key to the dark web. Tor alone has 7,000 secret nodes worldwide. There are other networks as well, such as I2P or Freenet. All of these networks function similarly to Tor, and shutting all of them down means an astronomical number of nodes needed to be taken down at the same time worldwide. An operation of that scale requires a lot of resources and time, which would make the entire thing impossible. There's nothing we could really do about it, so it's pretty safe to say that the dark web and all of its contents are here to stay. The Onion Router. Before we can understand whether Tor is actually secured, we need to understand how the technology works. We mentioned earlier about anonymous bidirectional communication in which the source or the destination cannot be determined by a midpoint. This is accomplished by creating an overlay network. This network is built on top of another network, which in this case is the Internet. Simply put, your traffic goes through the overlay network instead of the normal unencrypted Internet. There are many types of overlay networks, but a network would be classified as a darknet if it uses the onion routing technology. A darknet can only be accessed by specific software or authorization. Again, there was a misunderstanding between the darknet and the dark web. In simpler terms, the darknet is the road which you take to access the websites which are the dark web. Let us take the Tor network, for instance. It runs through the computer servers of thousands of volunteers across the globe. Your information, or data, is bundled into a packet that is encrypted as it enters the network. Then, Tor takes away the part of the packet's header which has the information about the sender. After that, Tor encrypts the rest of the addressing information known as the packet wrapper. The modified and encrypted data packet is finally routed through many servers, or relays, on the way to the destination. The way Tor encrypts, routes, and reroutes your data packet is similar to how a person is trying to shake a pursuer off by taking a roundabout path. It is impossible to know what the encrypted data contains, even if you manage to intercept and decrypt the data packet at its relay. Each relay only contains information about where the data packet came from and where it should go next, and it only rewraps the package before sending it on. That way, the data packet's path through the Tor network can never be fully traced. While there are some forms of encryption protocols for the regular Internet, those protocols are not as secured as you may be led to believe. A skilled hacker, or a determined government agent, would find it relatively easy to intercept, decrypt, and learn about the information that you sent through the Internet. However, if the people working for the government designed Tor, then is it truly safe? Well, as an online anonymizer, Tor was actually designed to be very secure for its users. According to the documents that were leaked by Edward Snowden, the NSA had actually tried to infiltrate, crack, or weaken any encryption that the agency does not control. This comes as really bad news, as it proves that the U.S. government is actively trying to spy on its own people. According to an interview with Edward Snowden conducted by John Oliver, he explained in detail how the U.S. government managed to snatch most, if not all, of the details that go in, out, or circulate within the country. It has become clear that all independent encryption and online communication services have become suspect, and Tor is no exception. This online anonymity network is, therefore, a high-priority target for the NSA, according to Bruce Schneier, who is a cryptography expert helping the British newspaper The Guardian to analyze its archive of documents leaked by Snowden. Luckily, another document from him confirmed that the NSA cannot crack Tor, although it has developed a workaround. This workaround is based on the vulnerability of the Firefox browser. The Tor browser is based on Firefox, so it's no surprise that both share similar weaknesses which the NSA could exploit. Of course, this vulnerability has been patched in the recent updates, so Tor users' anonymity remained protected. The documents also tell another interesting fact. Because the NSA said that they could not crack Tor, and that they attempted to work around it by using a browser exploit, it proves that Tor's protocol was tough enough that NSA could not break it. they could not even do traffic analysis on the Tor network. However, Tor has come under security setbacks in the form of cyber attacks. This presents a problem for its users, and the need for an alternative anonymous browser arose. All of them are different networks and use different encryption solutions to protect their users. Take I2P, for example. I2P offers anonymous communication as well. In that regard, it can be considered better than Tor because it is faster, more secured, and it has fully distributed and self-organizing capability. Tor allows for a bidirectional anonymous communication. I2P takes it a step further by making it unidirectional instead. That way, the route gets even more confusing for those who attempt to hack and steal data. Since Tor was becoming prime suspect for the NSA, everyone tried to find alternative ways to get into the dark web without the government interfering. Of course, most of the users just wanted to remain anonymous when they browse online. A few others wanted, however, to remain so because they want to continue conducting illicit business. Since the discovery of the Silk Road, mainstream media attempted to convince the public that the surface web is merely a thin layer sitting on top of an enormous criminal underground. That alone has some truth to it, but let us not forget that there are also legitimate websites on the dark web, although fewer in number. In fact, some of them are launched for a good cause. Some are there for journalists, whereas others are support networks for survivors of abuse or other atrocities. The dark web is not as dark as you may have been led to believe. In fact, there is something we could all learn from and use it as a foundation to build something better for mankind. In defense of the dark web. From the creation of the dark web, many have seen how it easily became a haven for criminals. However, let us not forget what the dark web was intended to do. Its main purpose was to provide its users the anonymity that the surface web could not. A person's privacy goes hand in hand with their safety, and that is exactly why many people prefer using the Tor browser. The dark web is a censorship-free world, but also a hiding place for criminals, whistleblowers, and political activists alike. Anonymity is the name of the game here. We mentioned before that the dark web is the host to many criminal businesses. But if everyone is anonymous, then how do they conduct business? The answer might surprise you. In a world of criminals, trust is very essential, and the first thing you want to know before you buy anything is knowing who the seller is. After all, why would you trust someone with your money when you don't even know who he is? Especially when you buy something illegal, knowing the seller is very crucial. This trust problem goes both ways. What if the customer is actually an undercover cop? Mutual trust is important, but so is identity. Now, I'm not trying to defend any illegal activity here. That whole part is, of course, extremely bad. However, some problems that arose in those markets gave birth to some interesting solutions, and we could all benefit by analyzing and learning from them. Jamie Bartlett once conducted a TED Talk about the dark web. He ventured out to the dark web to experience it firsthand. What he discovered was something truly astounding. In the harsh environment of the dark web, everyone needs to be innovative and clever in order to keep up with the industry. He went into one of the dark web's drug trade websites and realized that the layout of that website was very familiar with that of conventional online marketplaces. In his presentation, he showed the audience an image of the Silk Road website, which was host to many drug trades. There were many illegal products. Interestingly enough, you could find out the details of the product as well as its price just like on any normal website. Funny enough, there was even a report button. The method of payment was cryptocurrency, which we will address later in the book. More specifically, Bitcoin. You would have to enter an address, which for obvious reasons could not be a home address, and the product will eventually arrive. Now, we mentioned before that everyone is anonymous and that conducting business can be a risky thing. However, it worked most of the time. Why is that? The entire process worked because of the user reviews and how important they were. It is actually possible to know who a person is without knowing his identity. Even if you do not know who the seller is, you can still recognize him after an alias. That is crucial. The sellers have to build up their reputation under that name. Let us not forget that trust is very fragile in the dark web, and so the only way a buyer can trust a seller is by his reputation. That comes in the form of feedback from the previous customers. Here's a quick scenario. Suppose that you are looking to buy something illegal. On the dark web, you find a website that sells just that. When you go in there, you will see numerous products related to what you are looking for. You browse through all of them to find